Well, good morning. Thank each one for making the effort to come out this morning, in spite of who the speaker is. It's always a privilege to be able to share from God's Word. Those of you maybe that are visiting and don't know this place or how we operate, I'm not a paid guy to do this. I have no formal training, and you'll see that very shortly. But I do have one thing, and I'll quote a verse that will tell you what I mean by that. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I pray by the end of this meeting you'll understand what that verse means. I have in possession, present tense, eternal life. And that happened to me September 10th, 1988, when I understood for the first time that I was a sinner under condemnation and on my way to hell. And it was at that moment in time when I understood for the first time that Christ Jesus, God's Son, died for me. And I say it was a revelation to me. It really was. Because I was raised in a Christian home. I was taught from the Bible as long as I could remember, but I had never entered in to the reality of sins forgiven. And I have that this morning, and I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Word of God before me, and I want to present some truths from it this morning. Before I do that, I want to read, as way of introduction to my message, a little excerpt from a book, and it's entitled Appointment with Death. Now, you'll have to forgive me. There's two things that you will know, those that know me well. Number one is that my nasal passages run quite a bit when I speak, so I'm going to be snorting a lot up here. So forgive me for that. And also, I have two pair of glasses. This pair of glasses is for reading only, and if I wear them and I look out, I can't. It's just a haze, so I'll be taking my glasses on and off quite a bit here. Let's just read this little excerpt from a book called Appointment with Death. There is an old legend about a rich merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to the market. While he was at the marketplace, he was jostled by someone in the crowd. When he turned around, he saw a woman in a long black cloak and knew it was death. The servant ran home to his master and in a trembling voice told him about the encounter and how death had looked at him and made a threatening gesture. The servant begged his master to loan him a horse so he could ride to Samaria and hide so death would not find him. The master agreed and the servant galloped away. Later, the merchant went down to the marketplace and saw death standing nearby. The merchant asked, "Why did you make a threatening gesture to my servant and frighten him?" "That was not a threatening gesture," Death replied. It was just that I was startled to see him in Baghdad because I have an appointment with him tonight in Samaria." I read that story as way of introduction. If you have a Bible, I want to get you to turn. If you don't have one, just listen very carefully. The book of Job. One verse we're going to read from the book of Job, Job chapter 14 and verse 10. This will be our main text this morning, Job 14 and verse 10. It reads this, "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost," or man dies. And I want you to listen particularly to the last three words of this verse, "and where is he?" Where is he? Three people die in planet Earth every second. 180 people die every minute. 11,000 people die on planet Earth every hour. That's a statistic that's true and real. I entitled my message this morning, man after death. Man after death. There's going to be 4 points this morning, and I would undoubtedly say that for the first 2 points, no one could disagree. They're just facts. They're things that I'm going to bring to light that you would have to say, that is true. And maybe the last two, although you may not openly disagree with me, if you're not a professing Christian, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then although you may not openly disagree with me this morning, in your heart, you will see that you do disagree. It's really, my points are a place and a condition. 4 different points. The first one is, and you can apply this to men, women, boys and girls. It doesn't matter. Anyone that is living and breathing on planet Earth. The first one is, men and women are still on Earth. After death, still on Earth as an influence. So if you're on planet Earth and you die, you leave an influence behind, whether for good or bad. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So your influence after you die still lives on to a certain degree, whether greater or lesser, but there, you will leave an influence behind you. The second thing is that I want to bring out is when you die, you are put into a grave. That's your body. Many of you have been to funerals. Maybe people from other countries put their bodies into a tomb, a stone tomb. But at the end of the day, death is a great equalizer, isn't it? When your body, your physical body dies, it's placed into a grave. First, so far, I don't believe anyone could disagree with me. In eternity, your soul goes somewhere. Now we're getting a little bit more pointed, aren't we? The soul is, it's been depicted as your soul is who you see when you look into the eyes in the mirror, when you look into your own eyes. Your very being is in eternity. And finally, those that have passed through the doorway of death will either be in a place called heaven or in a place called hell. It's a pretty simple outline. We're going to talk a little bit about this. All 4 points. And I trust that God will use his word through me to speak to you. I in of myself cannot do anything. It is the Spirit of God in the world today. It says the Spirit of God convinces men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, after you die on earth, you leave an influence, is my first point. Some leave a legacy. I think of some people that go here on a regular basis. If I were to say the word Svend Christensen, you might equate that with the camp. Svend Christensen started the camp that this church is affiliated with. Not that he was a soul man, there was a number of people, but he was the initiator of that work which is going on today. Svend Christensen is no longer with us. But he left a legacy behind, didn't he? And for good or bad, what will you be remembered for? Before we move on, I want to just point out, let's be very clear here this morning. There is no wonder drug. There is no medicine you can take. There is nothing that you can do in your seat or this coming week that will give you everlasting life on planet Earth, everlasting physical life on planet Earth. There's no wonder drug out there. One out of every one of you will die. We cannot dispute that. And I think you would have to agree with me, knowing all the deaths, all the funerals that you've attended, all the people, all the children, all the old people, they've gone on. One out of one people in this auditorium is guaranteed to die. So we talked about a legacy, the influence after you die on planet Earth. I want to speak to the Christian here this morning. What kind of a legacy are you leaving behind? If death were to come knocking at your door this afternoon, what will people say about you after you're gone? It's pretty thought-provoking, isn't it? Maybe mothers and fathers, what kind of an influence are you leaving on your children? Because you know what? You're an example either for good or bad. And so I would encourage those of you that know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, what kind of an influence are you leaving on planet Earth if you were to move through the doors of death? For good or evil, a Christian or a Christ rejecter? Indifferent? Religious? What will you leave behind? Although your influence after you die will continue for a season, there's a greater question than this. Really, my points kind of pick up in progression and maybe get a little more personal as we go on this morning. So I think everyone would agree that there's an influence after you die. Whether you're a Christian or whatever your religion is, you will influence one way or the other. But there's a far more reaching question that we want to get to this morning. When you die, you are placed in a grave. That is your body. You see, in our day and age, there's much time spent in preserving the body, isn't there? You know, my wife says I'm like a borderline diabetic. Like last night, I had a can of pop, and a half hour later, I was looking for another one. She says, John, she says, you know, you're going to be a diabetic. She says, you're already on your way. You know, we do things in our lives to preserve the quality of life, don't we? We're more careful. I'm 50 now. When I get off a stepladder, I watch my steps. I used to just jump off the top rail, but I don't do that anymore because you know what? I feel my body is not what it used to be. I'm working at a job where these guys are jumping over trenches. And, you know, rebar sticking up, and they're just jumping over them, thinking, not me, I did that at one time, but I'm careful. Because you know what? As you get older, we all know it, those of us that are getting older know that our bodies weren't what they used to be. And there's much time spent with fitness and health programs and diets to preserve the body. But I want to tell you something this morning. Death is a great equalizer. You might get an extra 10 years. I don't know. Only God knows. My Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, physical death, and then there's judgment. Death, the great equalizer. You see, I can remember back in my mind when Princess Diana died. And I don't know exactly how much was spent on that funeral, but I would suspect there was millions. And then there's this old beggar that dies and he's known by no one and he's thrown into the city morgue in an old wooden box. And I would ask the question to you this morning, what differentiates their deaths? They both are gone. The body that what's left, we understand, we'll talk about that, as a soul departs from the body upon your last breath, that empty shell sits in a city morgue or it sits at Buckingham Palace. Death is a great equalizer. Some of God's messengers have died with little respect for those who are left behind. I don't know if you are familiar with the gentleman by the name of, I've just been watching on YouTube just recently, Nabil Qureshi. He's an apologetic. He's been touring around with Rabbi Zacharias, 34 years old, Muslim, converted to Christianity, and has and it's just an astounding mind. great preacher, great apologetic, can defend his faith, died of stomach cancer, 34 years old, last week. Do you know what some of the people that had no respect for his conversion to Christianity are saying? They are saying now that he is under judgment because of his conversion to Christianity. One that is a child of God, professed Jesus Christ as his Savior, confessed his sin, understood that he was no different than anyone else. He was under the condemnation of God, and he has no respect when he's gone. But does it really matter what those left behind think of those that have gone on? Is that really the issue here? Is it really the issue of what someone says about you when you're gone? Is that what really determines your eternal destiny? Absolutely not. What determines your eternal destiny is if you have either trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior or you have perished in your sins. Whether you are in Christ or you have perished in your sins. And you might ask the question, what in the world does it mean to be in Christ? We're going to talk about that, because that is a turning point in every individual's life when he comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You become in Christ. But for the unbeliever, death is really just a prison. It's just a holding place until that appointed time when God, the Almighty Judge, will judge you according to your works, according to what you have done with his Son. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Matthew 10:28 says this, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Hell. We don't hear much about hell, but I want to tell you on the authority of this book, hell is real. And if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, hell is patiently waiting for you. You see, we talked about physical death, and really, I want to liken death to really just as like it's like a door. It's like when you entered this building this morning, you entered what we call the vestibule. It's just a little gathering area before you enter what we call this here room as the auditorium. Well, death is a lot like that. Death is just an entryway into eternity. Time is short, eternity is forever. You may say, well, that's pretty simple thinking. I don't understand eternity, but I do know this. It's forever. It doesn't end. And the soul will enter into eternity. He is an eternity that dies as to his soul. To the Christian, those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's a verse. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor wisdom, nor knowledge in the grave whither thou goest. The night cometh when no man can work. That's to the Christian. It really just talks about redeeming the time. And you that know the Savior Have you ever gone through a day where you just had a missed opportunity? Where you knew the Spirit of God was asking you to share with someone? Maybe not such a nice person. Or maybe you find yourself just condemning people because they're stupid. Really? I don't want anything to do with that person because you know he's just not bright enough. He's a write-off. I've done it. Elevated myself to some kind of a person that thinks I'm better than someone else. And our objective as Christians, ones that have been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to reach out to everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not just a select few. Not just the ones that we want to rub shoulders with. But the guys that just annoy you. What are you doing to win them? To develop relationships with people so that you might win them. I speak to myself. Oh, we get kind of arrogant as Christians. We kind of get in our own little world sometimes and we function internally. And we don't reach out. There's a lost world out there. There's people that think they have the truth and they do not have it. They serve a Savior that is not risen. Christians, we serve a Savior that is risen. He is alive. He is resurrected. It is a fact. He died. That is the gospel. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. But I want to speak to the unbeliever. When your time is done, when you die, there's some things that are going to stop happening. One of the things that's going to stop happening is you'll never be in a place like this. A place of opportunity. I'm not just saying me. We live in a world where there's Christians and they're sharing the good news. There will never be another opportunity. There will never be a Spirit of God who lives in the world today convincing you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That will never happen again. There will be no empathy for you. And I think of that man. We're going to read it in a moment. The rich man and Lazarus, and as he woke up, where does it say? Where did he wake up? He woke up in hell. That's where he woke. He woke up in hell. It'll be too late. But, I want to say a big but that's not the case here this morning. You're living and breathing. You're alive. And you have an opportunity. God is not slack concerning his promises to usward, but is long-suffering, not willing that any, that includes you here this morning, not willing, God's desire is not willing that any should perish. He is not willing or desires any ill towards you, but he is a just God, and he must judge sin. He is a loving God, but he is a just God. And if you are a sinner this morning, and I trust you understand that you have sinned against God, then you are under the condemnation of God. I would ask you this morning to occupy your mind. Spend a little bit of time thinking about your eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. You know, there's people that have died, and those that are left behind can speculate where they are. Was he a Christian? Well, he made a profession. He never really lived it. But maybe between him and God, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Do you know what? I don't know those answers, and neither do you. Because to become a Christian, it's a relationship individually between God and you. But there's always speculation. Have you ever been to a funeral, a Christian funeral, and wondered, did that man or woman, did he actually know Jesus Christ as his Savior? I want to tell you something, and I'm sure you cannot disagree with me. We may not know, but that individual surely knows. Because as soon as you step out into eternity, you will know. You will know. If you land in hell, you will know. If you are tormented by flame, you will know. I kind of wonder if the sounds of hell could be rung out in this auditorium this morning. If just for a moment we could hear the torment of hell and those that are wailing and angry with God, knowing that they will never get another opportunity. You see, the Lord Jesus spoke and he used the words hell fire. We don't want to hear about that, do we? None of us want to hear about hell fire, but it's real. Hell is a real place. And those that do not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and step out through the door of death, it's just a door. You are an eternal being. You will step out and you will know where you will spend eternity. On earth, you have an influence. We all agree. Everyone has a personality. Everyone influences someone for good or bad. But that's not the real thing. That's not what we're talking about here this morning, is it? But it's true. You'll leave an influence behind. You'll all end up in a grave. That body of yours will be laid to rest, just like a big tree that falls in the woods. And wherever you lay, you'll lay. That body is there. And your soul will be separated for all eternity. There was one who died that most of us have heard about. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says he gave up the ghost. He died at a place called Calvary. He was God's son. And he gave up his life. But it wasn't for nothing. He had an influence. Far greater was his influence than anyone could ever imagine. Because he proclaimed what he would do at that place called Calvary. We know about it from the Bible. It says they beat him. And they spit in his face and they drove a crown of thorns on his head. And you know what? They hated him. But you know what he said when he was hanging there? Father, forgive them. They don't understand the whole process. They don't understand what I'm trying to do here. I'm here to die for their sins. He was God's beloved son. He gave up his life. But the difference is, he was victorious over death. He defeated death. And he's raised again. And he did a work that is enough to save you for all of eternity. As hard as that is to understand, he has done enough to save you for all eternity. That's what it means to be in Christ. I want to say, it just really means this. To rest in the truth of what he did. That's what it means. It means to rest in it. And it's like Once you get there, he puts you in his hands and he says, you are eternally my son or daughter. And what you've committed unto me, what you've said about yourself, you said you were a sinner, you understood that I died for your sins, and you've put your faith in me. That's called repentance. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus. And you will be eternally secure. And you will be guaranteed a place in heaven. I don't know what your teaching is prior to this day. I don't know what you believe. But I implore you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. I did September 10th, 1988. And I'll tell you something. It revolutionized who I am. It changed me. It made me a new creation. I would never picture myself on this platform or any other platform imploring people to flee from the wrath and trust their Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. You would have told me that, I'd say, you're crazy. But I experienced God's salvation. I understood I was a sinner. And I rested in the arms of Jesus, so to speak. And I am convinced, so much convinced, that I would not trade places with anyone in this auditorium. I would not trade places with Billy Graham or Ravi Zacharias or any big preacher, Spurgeon. No, sir, because you know what? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. It wasn't about me, but it was something that happened to me, and it can happen to you here this morning. I cannot convince you or convince you that you are a sinner. I can point you in the direction, but it's between you and God. Earth as an influence, grave as the body, eternity for your soul, and to your state, heaven or hell. Ask yourself the question this morning, where will I spend eternity? I trust that you will think on these matters. Forgive me for my feebleness. I'm not a big-time preacher, but I have the truth, and I trust that I would have had conveyed this in a way that you would understand it. If you have any questions, come and see me. If you're concerned about your eternal destiny, come and see me. I can't save you, but I can point you to the one. I can give you some scripture. I can point you to verses from this book that would point you to the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we have just so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for the day in which we understood for the first time that you loved us. And Father, I pray for each one that has been here this morning. There's no mistakes. Everyone that is in this auditorium this morning is here for a reason, a divine appointment. And Father, I pray that if they are not saved, they would think on these things, and that they would not lay their head in the pillow and wake up in hell. Father, may they have no sleep, no rest, until they have trusted in Jesus Christ and his shed blood for their sins. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.